Testing 1, 2, 3. This is Dr. Alex Avila, and this is Love University. I'm an author, psychologist, and speaker. And here we talk about love and relationships and also loving yourself, self-esteem, how to be the best person you can be. Now, we're in spring semester, and some of you guys have been on break, so we're coming back with a very interesting topic today that I think is going to be very practical. And the topic is this: risk and win big, the psychology of risk. If you think about it, risk, the idea that we don't know what's going to happen, but we do something anyways, is something that's much part of human nature. All of us take risk, whether it's in finances and relationships and lifestyle choices. And sometimes people don't take risks, and sometimes they miss out because they don't do what they want to do in life. And we're going to talk about that. How do you take risks in an intelligent way? We look first at genetics and biochemistry of the brain. First of all, many of us have what's called adrenaline that comes in when we're in a dangerous situation or risky situation, also known as fight or flight. In our primitive days, if we saw a big animal, we would either fight or run. And that's part of risk taking, is a little bit of fear. But also there's a chemical called dopamine, which is the pleasure chemical that's released when we do something exciting, you know, whether there's parachuting or some people like to gamble or do some outdoor activities that are exciting and a little bit risky. And the other chemical that comes into play is something called testosterone. Testosterone is often found in both males and females, but more in males, is a hormone that has to do with aggression, with assertion, and also with risk-taking. So we know that males are typically twice as likely to take risks than females, but it's not always biological. There's also a cultural part to it. Men often have to compete for female attention, and they may do things that are more risky to get their attention. And they actually did a study on this that was interesting. They had males and females look at a picture of an attractive person, and then they were asked, imagine that you're on a date with this person and enjoying the time with them. And later they asked them, how likely are you to engage in risky activities, whether it's speeding, parachuting, driving too fast, and things like that. And typically the males were more likely to engage in the riskier activities than the females. Again, they had a connection with wanting to win over maybe the heart of the female. Whereas women are more practical, they look at a lot of different factors. And also, that has to do with cultural things. Males may be more risk-taking in physical activities, maybe in driving fast and doing some outdoor sports. Although the females are doing that more these days. Women are more likely to take social risks. For example, change careers in midlife, leave a bad marriage, speak up when something's wrong. Now, the other factor is, besides gender, is situations. Now, sometimes some people are risky in certain situations. For example, the person jumps out of a plane, but then they're afraid to invest in the stock market. They don't want to take financial risk. Or someone can be a huge gambler, but they're afraid to talk to people in a social sense. So again, it depends. Some people are risky in some situations and not in others. But today what we're going to talk about, and this is something that applies to a lot of us, is how to take more intelligent risks. So intelligent meaning that it's beneficial to you and others. It doesn't harm you. We're not talking about driving excessively fast or abusing drugs or alcohol or promiscuous sexuality. We're talking about emotional and psychological risks. How to take risks that will actually improve your life and the lives of those around you, whether it's in your career, your relationships, the way you live. And there are benefits to taking risks, to being an intelligent risk taker. The first benefit is you have more opportunities to experience new things, whether it's traveling, trying new food, meeting new people, maybe a new relationship, a new career, a new business. So you're open to opportunities when you take risks, when you take a chance on something new. Also, you build confidence. We often find that our leaders are often risk takers, whether it's in business, politics, science, or humanitarian things. Our famous humanitarian Mother Teresa took a risk. She was in a convent, in a comfortable convent in her country. But she said, I was called to leave the convent and help the poor in Calcutta, a very poor, impoverished area. And she spent the rest of her life working with the poor people there. And she says, to fail would have been to break the faith. So in her mind, it was a risk worth taking to help many people in those poverty areas. Also, if you're a risk taker in the smart way, you can often make more money, whether it's in financial investments or in business. You may have heard of Mr. Bill Gates, now the richest man in the world, or one of the richest men. He dropped out of Harvard University, one of the greatest universities that are around, to start Microsoft, the business, and he was very successful from that. And other businessmen have done that, businesswoman as well, is maybe quit a secure job, or they want to write a book or start a new venture, and they've done that, even though they left behind something secure. Also, risk taking helps you learn. You know, maybe you make a mistake. Maybe you fail at several businesses or ventures, but each one teaches you something. So maybe the last one you do, the recent one, is the one that will be successful. Or in terms of your personal life, maybe you tried a lot of diets and they haven't worked, but you finally stumble upon or find the right one, and that helps you lose weight and get in shape. The other thing about risk taking is important is that it works hand in hand with success. Many times people, in some ways, are afraid of success. They're afraid to fail. They're afraid they won't fulfill their potential, so they don't take risks. They don't venture out to start that business or to go back to school or to do whatever they want in life. And what we know about success is that success matches you for every step that you take toward it. If you want to start that new business, you might go to the library and get on the internet and do some research, and you might volunteer at a place that has the kind of work that you want to do. And you start to take risks, you start to take chances, and as a result, you might eventually have the business that you want, because success will match you as soon as you walk toward it. And one of the biggest benefits of taking risk intelligently, in terms of psychological risks, is that you overcome one of our biggest nemesis. Our biggest enemies is fear. Again, the fear of failure, that I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I'm going to lose money in this investment. I'm going to be rejected by the person I'm attracted to. I'm not going to have a good relationship because I failed in the past. People who have been through divorce often have the feeling of failure. They're afraid to go back in again and find a soulmate because they realize that they didn't work out the first time. And the other fear is that what people will think. Oftentimes we'll say, well, if I fail, my friends will laugh at me and my family. They'll they won't believe in me and things like that. And sometimes we got to take the risks no matter what. Even if people around us are not really believing in us, we have to believe in ourselves and do what we need to do, whether it's leaving a bad marriage, moving out of the area, maybe a negative environment into a positive environment, traveling, whatever it is that you want to do. The key is to do it regardless of the fear, despite the fear. Now, let's say that we realize that risk can be very smart, because risks can pay off in psychological growth and also in your real life. How do we develop that risk-taking ability in a smart way? What we need to do is practice risk-taking. I call it the risk muscles. We have a psychological muscle, let's say, that helps us be more confident and to go out and do what we want to do. And we can start with small things like social aspects. For example, speaking up your opinion. Maybe you're in a group of people that may not agree with you, but you have a certain opinion and maybe a religious, political, psychological, or social view. Instead of just going along with the group, talk about what you believe in. Be true to yourself. They can be scary. It is a risk. They may not like you in the group. They may even ostracize you or not want you in there. But you speak up, and it gives you a sense of confidence and faith in yourself. Talk to people you don't know. Some people are shy, and we've talked a lot about the shy introvert personality. Talk to people in post office or stores. You may not know them, but maybe you can make some small talk. Maybe you can learn something. Maybe even make a friend or a business associate or maybe a relationship. So take that risk. Tell someone that you appreciate them. You like something about the way, their appearance, their personality. It can be a little risk, because they may not take it the right way, or maybe it's a little embarrassing for you to say that, but it can be very positive. You give loving energy to people that you may not even know very well, and it's a way to start a conversation and break the ice. Also, psychological risks. Now, this is where I think this is the key for a lot of people to take a step forward and do something that may be a little uncomfortable, out of their comfort zone. Ask for something that you're not sure if you can get. Maybe you want to go to your boss and ask for a raise. Not you, Reggie. I mean, you're pretty good. Right? my engineer is laughing. But confidence is important. Having the confidence to do something that you want to do that you may not think is something you can accomplish. Or maybe that attractive person that may be out of your league, you think, and you go up there, maybe talk to that person, maybe even ask them out on a date. It could be a great challenge for you, something that can actually spur you on. Speaking in public or speaking. A lot of people say that the fear of speaking is like the number two fear next to death. In my college classes, I often ask students to introduce themselves and talk about themselves. And some of them are kind of shy about it. Others actually like to do it. But most of the time, they get to the habit of speaking up a little bit, talking about themselves, and it builds confidence. I know with me, I used to be shy and still am to an extent. So I took public speaking, and I realized that something called Toastmasters, where you give a table topic, so you have to speak for 3 or 4 minutes on a particular topic spontaneously without even knowing much about it. And I ended up winning some prizes, and I did well in that. And it gave me a lot of confidence. The fact that you can just speak spontaneously and just captivate an audience is an amazing feeling. Something else that can help you build your risk muscles is to negotiate. Now, some of us are good at that. Some of us are not. Some of us don't like to negotiate, but whether it's buying a car or an item or something like that, learning how to verbally talk about what you want, you know, state your offer and see how the person responds can be also a good confidence booster. That, you know, you may be turned down by the person, but at least you're putting yourself out there. Giving to charity, even more than you can afford. One of the biggest fears that people have is that I don't have enough money. I can't really give to other people. Now, in my newest book I'm working on, Invincible You, I talk about extending loving energy without expectation, even including money. And I think of money as a form of loving energy, because if you do something you love, a work that you love, you receive what's called money as an appreciation for that. So it's a form of energy. And then you may buy goods or services from someone and you appreciate what they give you, so you give them the money back. So it's kind of like a constant flow of energy. So if you are able to give more than you can afford for right now to a charity or a humanitarian cause or a church, eventually that will come back to you in many different ways. It could come back to you in friendships or appreciation, or maybe even money itself, because you open a door, you open a space for this loving energy to come back to you in what we call money and financial aspects. And it can show that you have confidence, you know, what we call the prosperity mindset. We believe that we're eventually going to receive more when we give, and it takes away the fear that we don't have enough, because scarcity, the fear of scarcity of money and other things, is one thing that holds people back. The other thing that's very interesting is in risk is to embrace your weakness, or what you think is your weakness. Many times we waste a lot of energy trying to hide our weakness. You know, so we're not smart enough, we're not confident enough socially, and that takes a lot of energy. So one thing to do is to embrace it. Maybe I'm a procrastinator. You know, maybe I am a stutterer. We find that in therapy, people who stutter often have an anxiety in which they anticipate stuttering, so they stutter even more. And there's a trick to this, which is called paradox, which means we do the opposite of that. So we tell you, the stutterer, be the best stutterer in the world. Okay, so right now, I'm going to say that I am the best stutterer in the world. And it's kind of funny, it's a humorous exaggeration, but it's a paradox, because they now are given freedom to be a stutterer, and now they don't need to stutter. You know, they actually get beyond that anxiety. It's called reversal or paradox. So when you say to yourself, I'm going to be the worst or the best or whatever it is, in a comical way, it can take away the pressure that you have of trying to be perfect and trying to be good, which brings you more anxiety. Also, let's say that you have a short attention span, and some people have that where they think of a lot of different things. You can even say, well, that could be a talent because you could be a multitasker. Maybe you can do a lot of different little things at one time. So that weakness can become a strength. So you can embrace your so-called weakness and turn it into something even positive as a result. And the other thing that can help you with risk-taking and also mastering fear is to embrace your talent, your what we call in Spanish your don, which means God-given or nature-given talent, whether it's writing or teaching, mechanics, cooking, or being a great spouse or being a great parent. Whatever it is that you're good at or even great at, is to embrace that and to start to develop it and to express it to the world. And many times people are afraid to express their talent. Many times they say, well, I don't know if I can make money a living doing this, whether it's art or science, whatever it is they love, or I don't know if I'm good enough. And that is the fear people have. So they're afraid to risk to express themselves to do that. But the key is, the more you do it, the more you express your talent. Maybe you're an artist. You can go to a place where you can exhibit your art, a writer, a poet, a singer, a musician, whatever it is that you're good at. Maybe a good chef, you know, start to give away some of your samples to your friends, or maybe even sell them. And you can find that you can be very rewarded. You can be very reinforced by the idea that people love and will like what you do. And that's a good way to get out of that fear that you're not good enough in terms of your talent. The other thing that's very powerful for risk takers, or to develop your risk-taking ability, is to start something that you don't even think you can finish, like a challenge. One of which is a physical challenge. For example, let's say that your challenge is to do 100 push-ups, but you can barely do 5. Now, Reggie, how many push-ups can you do, my engineer here?
I think the most I've ever done is 50.
Okay, give me 100 right now, Reggie. Okay, okay, give me 100. I'll give you something special, right? I'll give you, a trip to Disneyland or something, if you can do it.
Right now?
Would you try it?
I can. I mean, I don't know how it works.
Reggie, I'm kidding. but it can be a challenge, right? You know, physical challenge, maybe running, running 1 mile. Some people can't even barely walk around the corner. But the more you try it, it builds your confidence. And even if you don't succeed at first, just by trying it, you're going to start to feel better about yourself. You know, this so-called impossible physical challenge, you can start to do it. And pretty much, Reggie, you might be doing 200 push-ups and running a 10K for charity, you know, because you've developed this ability and this confidence. Now, the other thing that's good about this is psychologically, accept the challenge that you think is difficult and express it to other people. For example, I'm going to write a 500-page novel, which seems like an amazing thing to do. Or I'm going to start this charity business to help children or animals. Or I'm going to go to 10 countries this year. I'm going to travel and experience these countries. Now, you may think, I don't have the money for it. I don't have the time. I don't have the ability. But see, once you set this up for yourself and you tell people who believe in you, now you do want to be around people that are positive and that can reinforce you, you start to gain that enthusiasm, right? That motivation to actually go out there and, you know, look up travel books, you know, find out where you want to go if it's the world traveling. Or I want to learn 10 new recipes. Whatever it is you want to do, or write the book, or write a song, or maybe have another child, or adopt a child, for example. Whatever it is that you are passionate about, once you decide to do it, once you tell other people that support you to do it, you can start to take steps, and then that becomes risk-taking in a smart way, where you bypass fear, because again, fear is one of the things that limits us in taking the intelligent risks. We're afraid of failure, we're afraid of people's reactions, we're afraid of not having enough ability to do it. Now, how about, let's talk about some tips. Now, let's say that you decide, hey, risk-taking can be very good in a smart, intelligent way to improve my life and, you know, live joyfully and experience life. So what do I need to do it in a smart way? Because I'm not going to, you know, jump off a two-story building into the pool, you know, just for fun. I'm going to do something that's going to enhance my life and others. First of all, look at what's called the risk-to-reward ratio. Now, oftentimes we see this in financial analysis and business where they analyze, you know, the efficacy or the likelihood of success in a business venture. You can do the same thing. If you want to start a business, study your competition. You know, what do I have to do marketing-wise? What resources do I need? If you want to marry someone, study your partner, their personality type. Now, I've written several successful books, Love Types and Guy Types, that talks about compatibility and personality type. The introvert versus the extrovert. The meaning seeker versus the excitement seeker. All of us are unique and different, but you want to find someone who resonates with your type. So let's say you're a meaning seeker, you love psychology, philosophy, and spirituality. You want to find someone like that, that also loves the same things, who's intuitive and feeling. Or if you're a scientist type, you love knowledge, then you need to find someone similar to you. So it's very important to unmask the person at the beginning of the dating relationship. Look for signs and cues. Maybe they're not compatible with you. Maybe they have maybe some bad habits. And we've discussed this in one of our shows about personality disorders. The person who's a narcissist who thinks only about themselves, or person who's very dependent on other people. So they can have psychological flaws or issues that can eventually come up, but you want to be attuned to those because maybe they're not your right partner. And let's say they have 10 great things and one bad thing. Okay, you said, well, I can live with that. But what if they have 5 good things and 5 bad things in terms of defects or personality characteristics? Then you have to be very careful and maybe not pursue it. So look very carefully as to the risk versus the reward of what you're doing. Number two is trust your instinct or your gut. Now, in the martial arts, there's a point 2 inches below your navel called the hara. The hara is your gut instinct or your intuition, as we say. And martial artists, when they do a lot of their exercises, they focus on the hara in that stomach area. So when you talk about your gut feeling, what is your gut telling you to do? Should I make that financial investment or not? Should I stay in the relationship or not? Should I move to a different career? Should I move to a different place? Do I need to, you know, be away from certain friends and, you know, stop the relationship or make new friends or a new love romantic interest? Whatever it is that my gut is telling me, listen to your feelings, listen to your intuition, because you often can be right. And if you don't listen to it, you can make a mistake. Also, when it comes to developing your risk-taking ability, take small risks, you know, on a frequent basis. If you want to invest in the stock market, you know, start with a little bit of money first and see what happens, you know, and get your feet wet in that. If you want to get to know someone, you know, go on some dates with that person or date in general just to get the flow of the kind of people that you want to be with. If you want to travel, you know, to another country, maybe you'll start, you know, traveling locally or to another state or depending on where you live in the world, to another region. If you want to change your lifestyle habits, start small. If you want to work out and, you know, lose weight or get into shape, you know, start a little bit at a time. And you start to develop that ability, that confidence, and that flow, that energy that, you know, you can continue growing and growing. Another thing that can help you very much in this ability to take risks intelligently is to imagine the risk you're taking and succeeding in it. Imagine yourself starting that new business, traveling to a new place, having a great new relationship, leaving the old relationship behind that may have been abusive or incompatible, moving to a new exciting city, you know, doing something different, maybe adopting a child or having children in your life or animals, whatever it is that you really want to do, imagine yourself succeeding. And in fact, consider that everything that doesn't lead to success is simply a non-success. Not even calling it a failure, because sometimes we call things failures and we feel bad about it. You know, we're not good enough. But simply look at it as a non-success. It's just a temporary non-success. And the good thing about that is that each non-success will lead you to eventual success. And you need to get those out of the way. You know the things that didn't work out, the businesses that didn't work out, the relationship that didn't work out, the lifestyle choices. Maybe you give up, alcohol or drugs or drinking or smoking, whatever it is that you no longer do. And now you're in a different mindset. You're in a healthier and more positive plateau. And you're improving. So look at everything as a non-success that can lead you to success. And of course, persistence is key. Now, we know a lot of our great inventors and scientists failed many times. They say Edison failed thousands of times when he developed the light bulb. You know, he experimented and failed, but he didn't call it failure. He just called it a stepping stone to success. And that's persistence. Now, once there was a young boy who was a classical pianist. He's being trained, and his parents were very proud of him. And they brought in a famous music teacher to evaluate the young son. He was about 9 years old. And the teacher listened to him play, the famous teacher, and he said, "I'll be honest with you. You're better off becoming an accountant. You will never be a great classical pianist." And of course, the child was devastated. The parents were sad and disappointed. Years later, the boy, now a young man, was actually in Wall Street working in the field, and he ran into the older teacher now, and he said, "Sir, thank you very much. If you remember me, you came to my house one time. You told me I didn't have a career in piano, and I'm very happy to say I'm now a stockbroker, like you suggested. I'm very successful. I make a lot of money." The famous teacher looked at him in the eye and says, "Young man, I tell that to all the young children that play piano, that they can't succeed. Only the ones who truly have the passion and the talent will make me eat my words." So the young boy walked away. The young man walked away and said, "Wow, I could have been a classical pianist had I, had that desire and drive." But he didn't, apparently, right? Because he let a few words dissuade him. So that's very important. If you do believe in yourself, if you believe in your passion, and if you have the talent and persistence, you can succeed. Now, there is a little bit of a caveat, a little bit of a cautionary note here. There are times when you need to redirect your energy in a different direction. Maybe you've tried many times to do something, like start a business, and you're not good in business. You hate numbers. Maybe you're an artist, you're a scientist, something different. Or maybe you're 5 feet tall, you want to be the starting center for the NBA Lakers, for example, in the National Basketball Association. And even though there have been some small players in the league, to be a center, it's pretty unlikely to happen. So again, this is something that may not be your thing, but maybe there's other things you can do. Maybe you can be the greatest singer you can be, or a writer, or a parent, or a mechanic, or craftsperson, whatever it is that you love. But you might need to redirect your energy, move from that thing that didn't work out, or even that relationship that didn't work out. You put in 10 years in a bad marriage. Maybe it's time to move on, especially if there's abuse and things like that. So there are many things that you can think about. Where do I want to go from here? What is my true passion and desire? And when you are thinking of this idea of taking risks intelligently, do so on a daily basis and do it in a deep way. We're not talking about driving too fast or having unprotected sexuality with many partners or excessive drinking or alcohol or drug use. We're talking about psychological risks. Saying, "I love you," can be very scary, but it's a risk that's worth taking. "I want to marry you," or "I want to, say I'm sorry for something." To admit a mistake can be a very scary thing for a lot of people, but it can be very life-enhancing. It can be something that grows. To be authentic, maybe you have a different orientation than other people, whether it's religious or psychological, and you've hidden that, and now it's time to actually talk about it and say, this is what I really am. This is what I believe in. Also very risky, but also can be very rewarding because you are who you really are. And it builds your confidence. It builds your power internally. Where you can say, "I am this, and I believe in this, and this is what I am. And I really want to contribute to society and help people as well." So again, the idea of risking intelligently is a way where you can win big in life. You can step out of your shackles of fear, because fear is what holds many people back. Fear of, again, failure, of looking the wrong way to others, to, you know, disapproval, and fear that you can't fulfill your potential. So take the right risk and win big this week. So whatever it is this week, let's go out and do something positive and successful, and let's enjoy it. This has been Love University. And again, as always, you know, we really love having you guys give us feedback. We're getting a lot of very positive comments and a lot of people listening to the show. If you want to write to us, you can email us at lovetype4u@aol.com. That's LOVETYPE, the number 4, letter U, at AOL.com. Call us at 310-226-8090. And also our website is loveuniversity.love. So we have a blog on there. We have people can write into us. If you want to be a guest on the show or contribute something, we definitely would love to have you. So again, this is Dr. Alex Avila. And it's time now to put away your books, your pens. And it's a beautiful day outside. Let's take a risk. Let's be alive. Until next time.